to Logan and Disney! He strikes and he scores!
Russell fires his shot and an amazing finish!
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Espinoza saved by Tim Melia again! Wow!
Now here's your host, the voice of Sporting, Blake Arney.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show with myself, Blake Arney, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen and Sporting Kansas City homegrown John Kempen here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City all over socials. Wherever you are, you can find Sporting Kansas City. We would love it if you would follow there. John, it's a new week. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate that intro. Man, you're like the biggest hype man ever.
I try to be. And, you know, we've got a big matchup coming up for Sporting Kansas City. They're coming off of a huge win against Toronto FC, a 3-1 win. But before we get into all of that, John, I know it's a bit of a special week coming up. You know, we're recording this earlier in the week. It will go out on Thursday. And by the time we record our next one, you'll have had a birthday. So I think it's time we start talking about that. It's a big week for you. Got anything big planned coming up for your birthday?
A few things. I mean, it's nice being back home with my friends and family and be able to celebrate birthdays and stuff like that. But you just had a birthday as well. So I think we need to celebrate on Sunday with 3 points.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, my birthday was just this last week. Sporting gave me 3 points, I guess, for my birthday this past weekend because mine was last Thursday. So, you know, I maybe got my gift. Now it's time for Sporting to give you your gift of 3 points. And, you know, maybe we can have a little bit of a celebration, like you said.
Let's do it. And I also love, you know, it's always around Easter, which obviously we just had. So it's good to spend time with, family. And then Masters are coming up. So I always love the Masters.
Yeah, I feel like your birthday. I mentioned it on the broadcast. Johnny Russell shares a birthday with you as well as my father. My dad has a birthday. I don't know if I've ever used the term father. My dad has a birthday on the same day as you. And usually I feel like either the national championship for basketball or the Masters falls on that day.
Yeah. Does he have a John or Jonathan or Johnny in his name?
Oh, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. His brother is John. Maybe they just got mixed up in the birthing order. Because, yeah, I guess you're right. It's John, Johnny, and my dad's not a John, so he doesn't quite fit into that. But he's got a brother named John, so maybe that is close enough, I guess. But, as we talked about, John, we've got Sporting Kansas City coming off a huge 3-1 win, a dominant performance on the road against Toronto FC, a team that had been running hot going into that match. I think all things considered, a huge performance for Sporting Kansas City. They didn't quite get the clean sheet like maybe they would have wanted. But what are your main takeaways from that matchup, John?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. It was a dominant performance. I think looking into the match, looking at who's injured, looking at the rosters and so forth, you're kind of going, well, what can you expect from Sporting Kansas City? Toronto, like you said, was red hot, playing at home, kind of difficult conditions, windy, cold. It's always a hard place to play, especially if you're not playing there in the summer. And, I thought that Sporting Kansas City looked very good. They didn't look tired the entire match. I thought that they created chance after chance after chance, which is something we didn't see in these prior matches. You did see it a little bit against the Galaxy, but you saw them finish those chances against Toronto. And sure, you know, you can talk about the late goal and not keeping the clean sheet, but I think you need to focus on the good things of that match. And it was you scored a bunch of goals. You scored it from different players, and you also didn't have, you know, three of your top players even on the pitch.
Yeah, and I mean, going into that match, that was the biggest talking point is Johnny Russell was out due to injury. Alan Pulido was out due to injury. Andre Fontas was out due to injury. So that's three, like you said, of your most experienced players. I mean, arguably, those are your three most experienced and well-versed players for Sporting Kansas City. They were missing. It was, how do these young guys respond and how does the rest of the roster respond without those players? And we saw exactly what happened. It was a great response.
It was. And I think the other thing that we need to look at is these are guys who you had Alan Pulido a captain the week prior. You know, Johnny Russell, captain of the team. Fontes has been a captain in the back, just a leader in the back there and a presence. So who was going to step up? And I think that you saw multiple guys step up. And I think one to even look at, and I've said it before, he's one of the younger players on the team, but Jake Davis, it's tough to be like, okay, you know, some young player is a leader and people look up to him and stuff. But I do think just his work ethic and his like resiliency and his intensity And not to mention that he scored a fantastic goal. He's becoming a leader in front of our eyes.
Absolutely. And becoming a fan favorite as well. I mean, we got the chance to talk to him for the Behind the Shield interviews. If you don't watch those, they're just absolutely a wonderful peek behind the curtain to get to see what these players are thinking week in and week out and in training and all of those kind of things. But we got the chance to talk to Jake Davis, and he said, you know, that love from the fans doesn't always come around. It's not something that's given, you know, you, not that he earned it, but it, I mean, us on the outside would absolutely say Jake Davis earned that love from the fans and becoming a fan favorite. But I think him personally, he sees it as, okay, I've done a good job. The fans appreciate me, but that I have to appreciate that while I have it, because it doesn't come around all the time. And he's done a really good job of appreciating that by showing the fans good performances week in and week out. And John, I don't know if you saw this, but the April Fool's prank that got played on him by Daniel Shallowy, it was a pretty fun one. And, you know, we asked him some questions about that. It was a great little prank.
Yeah, I mean, somebody ends up always doing an April Fool's prank within the Sport and KC organization. And this year is Jake Davis, getting falling for it. But it just goes to show you, you know, how much this team and these players love him. Because if you look back at the kind of opening kickoff party, he also sort of got joked with by Johnny Russell, making him do the I Believe chant. So I just think he's a well-liked guy. And you said it best there, is you've got to kind of earn the support, if you will, or not the support, but just kind of being a fan favorite by what you do, by your actions, right? Whether it's just being a good person, playing well, contributing by scoring goals or getting assists. And I think he's done all that. But at the same time, one of the hardest things to do is also be consistent, consistent with your health and consistent with your playing. And I think he's been consistent with both those so far. You know, when you have a good game, Or you score a goal, you go back, you have the next game, and you're sitting there going, I have to be just as good, or I have to be better. And that's a very difficult thing, and a lot of pressure to put on yourself. And I think at such a young age, he's done very well with that.
Yeah, it is impressive at his age to be able to do that. It's not something that you can expect from any player of that age. But he has been a very, very solid piece to this Sporting Kansas City team. And as you mentioned, you know, the captains have shifted around in the team. Daniel Shallowy holding the captain's armband in that most previous match against Toronto. I'm sure Jake Davis looks up to that and says that's something he probably wants to do someday. And so it's always something that is interesting to talk about with the players, is that captain's armband, what it means. And obviously, Johnny Russell is the main player who wears it week in and week out when he's healthy for Sporting Kansas City. And we know what it means to him. But as that kind of gets shifted around, it's been interesting to see the leadership on this team change from player to player, as Johnny Russell here hasn't been healthy, but hopefully be back soon.
Yeah, and when I was playing for the club, you know, a dream that sort of the club had, and they're starting to do it, and you look at other teams around the world who have done it, you look at Manchester United, you have these players who come up through the homegrown system, and there's a few of them, and then there's a few more that come years later and so forth. If you had most of the starting 11 out there, homegrown players, and you had a captain, and just, you know, I look at that, like I said, that Manchester United team. I mean, that is just something that's really special. And it just is seeming like Jake Davis could be that captain and kind of lead these homegrowns and continue to be leader for these kids who are in the academy as they start to build and grow into players and grow into the first team.
And John, coming from a homegrown yourself, I'm sure you can, you know, can, like you said, you can talk about what that means to be a homegrown for Sporting Kansas City. And obviously that the club has that goal to produce those players and help them lead the team going forward. But looking at that match against Toronto FC, Sporting Kansas City, a very strong first half. It was back and forth. Peter Vermees said after the match, and he said during the week, that it really could have been two goals in favor of Sporting Kansas City. Toronto probably could have had a goal as well, so maybe it could have been 2-1 going into the half. It was 0-0. And all things considered, that was a good result for Sporting KC. But then coming out of the half, Remy Voltaire, an absolute screamer. He scored 3 goals in, I think, the last 10 matches, all competitions for him, and all of them have been outside the box. What a striker of the ball he is becoming. I mean, he is the kind of player that you can almost expect at this point every once in a while to just line one up from outside the box. You can't give him space with that left foot.
No, you can't. And it's just interesting because I'm not sure, you know, you always expect that from a midfielder like that. But you need production from somewhere, and especially when you have guys who are out injured. And I think it's great to see Remy scoring those fantastic goals, right? You know, like you said, Sporting Kansas City was just absolutely peppering Toronto in the first half. I mean, the goalkeeper, Gavin, had a fantastic first half and probably could have scored against Sporting Kansas City too. You know, Tim Melia obviously having another good game. And I think when you look at how are you going to play on the road, usually, for the most part, you kind of say, okay, a result is good. We're going to sort of sit back. Let's see what Toronto does. I mean, quite honest with you, it was kind of the other way. Toronto might have had a little more possession, but it was every time Sporting Kansas City got the ball, they're going forward, they're going in behind, they're attacking their center backs, and they're creating chances. And that's not something that you always see from the wayside. And to get into half nil-nil and then come out flying like they did, you know, it was just a really good sign of a team that's continuing to learn every week and continuing to get better every week.
Yeah, and Jake Davis, Alanis Vargas, the two other players that scored goals for Sporting Kansas City, it wasn't the main, I guess, regular cast you would expect. Alan Pulido being out, Johnny Russell being out. Daniel Shallowy didn't score in this match, but he did play a part in those goals, obviously. But for Sporting Kansas City to have a plethora of players scoring when those guys are out, that is a massive thing for this team. Because, of course, in the past, it's been those guys. It's been Alan Pulido scoring a ton of goals for Sporting Kansas City that they've kind of had to rely on him. And he's stepped up to the plate, especially, you know, last season. 14 goals is nothing to, you know, laugh at. That was an incredible season from him. And then you look at the rest of the team, and for them to be stepping up in that place when those guys can't play, it makes the dealing with injuries a lot easier.
Well, 100%. Not only that, is obviously Eric Tommy, for me, has been one of the best players this entire season. But you look at Willy Agata, who comes on, and Peter even talked about it in his press conference. He makes these runs. You know, he got an assist, but he maybe didn't score, but he makes these runs where the center backs and the outside backs are having to go, okay, where's Willy? I've got to track him. I've got to run with him. And now that opens up pockets for other players. And I think that that's why, personally, I think that's why you're seeing some of these other players score some of these goals. And we're just kind of seeing a plethora of various players, you know, producing, whether it's an assist or a goal. And I really think it's from runs like that. And I even thought, like, you know, Memo had a good game as well. And to be quite honest with you, I mean, Radoya has been probably the best player this season. And then you look at Volder, who has had to come on as well in kind of a difficult moment. It's crazy to me how you're getting so much production from guys who had to come on early in the season because of injuries, or you made some subs or whatever it might be. And, you know, obviously Alanis gets a goal. It's cool. It's cool to see. And I think it's going to be important as Sporting Kansas City get to a congested schedule and long season, a lot of games, and try and make a run at the playoffs and MLS Cup.
Yeah. And all things considered, Sporting Kansas City had a lot of injuries to start last season. And that was a big reason why they started the year as poorly as they did. I mean, it was tough to deal with those injuries. The team wasn't locked in, but then obviously late in the year, they figured it out and they really did get locked in, made the playoffs, made a great run. Everyone knows that story. But looking at this season, Sporting Kansas City started the year, pretty much everyone was healthy outside of the guys that we knew going into the regular season were not going to be healthy, with Kyrie Shelton and Logan Ndembe. Now those guys are getting closer to being healthy again, but a couple of players picking up knocks, you know, Johnny Russell, Andre Ufantas, Alan Pulido picking up knocks throughout the week. It feels like this team has managed those injuries better. And I don't know if that's credit to Peter Vermees because of the way he has been adaptable and he's changed the formation so that he fits the guys he wants on the pitch out there, or what exactly the situation has been. But it feels like the management of injuries has been better.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Director of Sports Performance Joey Hardy might have a lot to do with that. I think that he, you know, you saw him behind the shield, that he really takes his job seriously. And I think he's very good at what he does. He was there when I was playing for Sporting Kansas City. He's been there a very long time. And I think that he really focuses on adapting to the players, you know, readiness score, if you will, in how much they've output in matches and in practice, and to tailors a personal program to each player. And I think that that has helped, one, keep people healthy. And then when there are, you know, inevitably there's going to be knocks and people are going to get injured. When there are injuries, I think that these players are coming back pretty fast. You saw that with Remy Voltaire. You've seen with how well Kyrie Shelton's done, and he's almost back and ready to go. And my assumption is, you know, Alan Pulido will probably be back this weekend as well. So I think that these players are also recovering faster. And you look back at the last few years, and there have been some injuries and some longer-term injuries. And I do think that Peter and his staff have learned from that, and how do we get these guys back faster? And I mean, I also want to talk about the training facility. You know, they have every single tool at their dispense to help these guys recover and perform at their highest. And I think that obviously has a factor as well.
Yeah, Compass Minerals National Performance Center certainly has just about everything. John, I don't know how long that had been built when you were there, but it certainly has everything that a player could want. I've heard stories of other people from other, you know, countries, from other clubs come over and really just praise how well Sporting Kansas City have done with all of that.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to so many people and they've just talked about how amazing it is, and that when they were playing, when they were in Major League Soccer, teams didn't have that. And it's funny because we didn't have that when I was here. We still had a fantastic training facility at Swope Park. But when I was in Columbus, they were building a new training center. And as soon as I got traded to DC, that training center opened up. As soon as I left here and went to the Galaxy, this training center opened up. And then, you know, I did get 1 year with the new training facility in DC. But outside of that, it seems like I leave before all the good training facilities are built, unfortunately.
Well, Kansas City has certainly done a great job. It's also obviously used by the national team as well whenever they're in town, and it is just a great facility.
Yeah.
But John, all things considered, from that Toronto FC match, it feels like Sporting Kansas City have put that loss against the Galaxy completely behind them. That was something I think everyone was worried about, with a great performance in the first portion of that match and then just a 10-minute lapse where the Galaxy ran rampant on Sporting Kansas City. They bounced back really quickly against Toronto. A strong first half, didn't concede a goal, and then they just scored three goals quickly in the second half and did exactly what the Galaxy did to them. A great performance, 3 points on the road, still undefeated on the road. Now the story going into three matches at home is much better than what it could have been had it not have been the best performance in Toronto.
Yeah, well, I think kind of the storyline at the beginning of the season was, you know, how are they going to catch fire? How are they going to score goals? Defense has been fantastic. And, you know, you look at the last three matches and you score two goals against San Jose. You know, you score two goals against the Galaxy. And then you score three goals, which, by the way, three goals in the second half, not within two halves. So scoring three goals in an entire half is obviously great to see. You're creating those chances, and it's good to see. And I think that can continue to give them confidence. Because looking back at the Galaxy game, sure, there's about a 10-minute lapse. They still, in my opinion, kind of dominated that match as well. And I feel like they played the exact same way against Toronto and dominated that match. They just didn't have the lapse of focus, you know, lack of focus for 10 minutes. They played an entire 90 minutes. Well, okay, I'll say 96 minutes. You might have had a lack of focus in the last minute to concede that goal. But regardless, I think that they're getting better every week, and they're building confidence, and they're utilizing everybody, and they're building that identity.
Well, before we take a quick break here, John, I'm going to play a little doomsday, maybe try and make everyone feel bad here for a second, because Sporting Kansas City, of course, a really tough performance against Philadelphia. If they manage to, I think in everyone's mind, rightfully earn all 3 points in that match, and, you know, obviously we've put all that behind us, but if SKC earn all 3 points in that match, they would currently be sitting second place, standalone in the Western Conference, right behind the LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
Now, if you also add on top of that, if Sporting Kansas City could withstand some of that, you know, barrage from the Galaxy and even just earn a point, they don't even need to win against the Galaxy, even just earn a point, they'd be standing alone at the top of the Western Conference. And if they would have earned all 3 points in that match that they led 2-0, which is not crazy to say, you know, You get the point. They'd be standing alone in first place in the Western Conference. I'm not trying to say that, you know, oh, it's horrible. I think on my end, this is a much more positive thought. This team is a couple moments away from being atop the Western Conference. So they're playing at a very high level right now.
Yeah. And I think it's still okay to talk about things like that, like the, you know, the Philly game, just because it did happen, you know, and you don't want to harp on it because it is what it is and you can't change it. But that might have played a small factor. Sporting Kansas City might have had a little more confidence or whatever it might have been against the Galaxy. And I think, yeah, you could say they could be in first place at the moment, but it just goes to show you that this team is playing very well at the moment. You know, and I think that they're playing fairly consistent for the most part. But what I like the most about this team is they're learning from previous weeks and they're continuing to get better. we talked about before, they're not going to come in first match day, you know, against Houston and be the best team that they can be. They're going to have to build along the year and build along the season and catch fire at the end there and make a run at the playoffs. And so it's good. And I think it's healthy to see them learning from previous weeks.
Well, Peter Vermees always talks about that 10 matches into the year. That's when he kind of knows what team he has. Well, we're 6 matches in, and Sporting Kansas City have a couple of wins. They've only lost once, and they have not lost on the road. So it's been a good start thus far for Sporting Kansas City, but they have a big matchup coming up against Portland. We'll cover that here in a later segment, but we will take a quick break. And when we come back, had a great conversation with Sporting Kansas City midfielder and goal scorer against Toronto FC, Remy Voltaire. We'll take a quick break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And when we come back, we'll have more on the Sporting Kansas City Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back into the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City on all socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you are. You can find Sporting KC, and we are now joined by Sporting Kansas City midfielder Remy Voltaire. Remy, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yeah, so I asked a couple of these guys this same question, but I'm curious on your situation with all of this. So you finish up training, everything, normal day for Remy Voltaire. As soon as you get out these doors, what does a normal day in your life look like?
For me, it's pretty cool, pretty easy. It just depends on what my wife wants to do. If she wants to have a walk with the baby, okay, I'm okay with that. Take a coffee and then just small things, like any of these things in life, you know, just easy. And rest sometime in my apartment, just chilling at home and take care of our son, and just easy.
So your son, I guess, is he kind of getting to the point where he's starting to move around and kind of being more active at this point yet?
Yeah, now it starts to be a little bit harder because he's running everywhere. So we have to take care of that, and just because he wants to jump on everything, he wants to... So we have to be careful, but that's fun. That's fun.
So you guys, you know, back on the field, you guys are coming off of a big win in Toronto. You got the opening goal in that match. I guess, how did that feel to go on the road and grab all 3 points and score that goal?
I mean, I had an amazing feeling. It's always very good, and you have always a good feeling when you score, when you lead the team. So that was very good on the road. It's always hard to play away game. So it was good for the team. I think we needed those 3 points. It was very important for us to keep going and keep pushing to be on the top. So it was very good, and I think this win will give the confidence we need for the next game. So, I mean, that's very good.
And I don't think you have been to Toronto before this. Had you traveled to Toronto?
No, it was my first time.
How'd you like it?
I mean, I haven't seen the city that much, but I mean, the stadium was cool. The feeling was good, and we won, so.
Yeah, made the trip a little better. Yeah, exactly. Do you have a favorite away trip that you've been on for Sporting?
I loved Atlanta because the stadium was amazing, the fans or whatever. We play against front to 70,000 people, so it was an amazing feeling. About the city, I don't have a special city that I love. I just know that it's always a hard game when we play away. It's always hard to be away, but that's fun.
So you've recently recovered from a little bit of a knock to your ankle, I guess. How are you feeling physically at this point in time?
I feel better.
Yeah.
I feel better. I'm okay to play. I show that I can play and be 100%. So I'm good.
Yeah, and so with you kind of, you know, coming back from the injury, you know, working your way back into the starting lineup, but the guys around you in the midfield haven't been, you know, it hasn't been the same cast of the midfield every match that you've played in. How have you guys been able to manage kind of some of that inconsistency but still perform at a high level?
I mean, everybody is important in the group. Doesn't matter who play at this position, doesn't matter. We just have to perform. We just have to be at our best. We have to play our game, and as I said, it doesn't matter who is on the field. We know like the quality we have. We know the plan we have for the team, especially for the game. So we just have to be, like, everybody has to be ready for that. And we know how it is. There is some change in the year. It's always the same in every club, in every team. So we should be ready for that.
And so you guys are coming back, playing at home against the Portland Timbers. You've now spent a decent portion of your career here in Kansas City. Is there anything about Kansas City that has made you want to stay and build a big portion of your career here?
Yeah, for sure. Kansas City will be in my heart forever. I had my kid here. I enjoy my life with my wife here. Now it's my fourth year here, and I enjoy every day here in this city, in this club. The club is amazing. We have a very good facility. We have a good stadium, good fans. I like the mentality of people. I mean, everything is good, and I'm very happy to make my 100 appearances. It was a goal for me when I arrived here. I had another goal. It's like to win some trophy with the team, because I don't want to leave that club without trophy. So I hope it will be this year and for a long time.
That's awesome. So we were a little pressed for time here with you, Remy, but we'll get into some quick fire questions. So the first of these, who has the best style on the team?
The best style? I think Casti. Casti is pretty good. His fashion is always on his top.
And then you were talking a little bit about your son. Who would you trust to babysit Adonis?
Fonty is a good dad. I think he's the best one I can trust. He's same. He's very cool, very calm. He's very like old. So I trust him a lot.
That's awesome. Who is your favorite soccer player growing up?
In the world, I love Gundogan. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I was like crazy about him, his style, how he played when he was in Dortmund. He was way before than he is maybe one of the best in the world now, but he was way before. I love this player. I mean, he was like very good. And I have another one. It was Iniesta, but now he's getting older. But still, I love how he play, how he's smart in the game. He's like an example for me.
İlkay Gündoğan, that's a good shout. I like that one. Yeah, and then who would you say is your favorite athlete outside of soccer?
Athlete? I love Usain Bolt because he's performing like crazy. He's the best in the world when he was at his top. He has, I don't know how many world records or whatever, but it's like so good. He's a good person, I think. And it was always fun to watch him on the TV.
And then the last one to wrap it up, who's the toughest player you played against in your career?
I mean, when I was in Nice, it was like PSG. It was the team we play against every year. And Mbappe or Neymar was like the top.
Awesome.
It was very, very hard. I had a bad remember about that, but you can be on the field and try whatever you want. You will never get the ball. Or even when you touch it, you are so tired because you run since like 10 minutes to get the ball. And then you lose it because you are not like, you are very tired. So it's 90 minutes like an effort test. It's so hard.
I believe it. Watching him is just absolutely incredible. But Remy, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
That is Remy Voltaire, Sporting Kansas City midfielder here on the Sporting KC Show. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcast with more on the Sporting KC Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Myself, Blake Arney, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen. If you're listening here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, we welcome you back. If you're listening wherever you get your podcasts, we welcome you back as well. And to all of you, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City on social media, wherever you are, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you are, Sporting Kansas City is there as well. And there is some great content that SKC is putting out. So don't miss it. If you haven't already, make sure to give them a follow. John Kempen alongside me. John, Sporting Kansas City, a big matchup against the Portland Timbers. I hate to do it to you, but I know you are a little bit familiar with some matchups against the Portland Timbers. Maybe double familiar?
I knew that was coming. Yeah, I seem to get that one every year we play Portland. But yeah, obviously looking back, 2015, PK shootout. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be a part of that team. Obviously, the result didn't go our way. But Still a good experience for myself. And, you know, I think it was a good experience for the team moving forward. But yeah, I don't know what to say about that. They did say I could drink for free at the Double Post Bar in Portland. So, you know, that's a plus.
And for those of you listeners who may not be quite as familiar with the Sporting Kansas City history, SKC was a part of the longest penalty kick shootout in MLS history in a matchup against the Portland Timbers in the playoffs in 2015. John, of course, you were in goal. And credit to you, because I don't think you necessarily give yourself enough credit on here, that you made a couple of huge saves in that shootout. It eventually came around to where you had to be taking a penalty kick. Of course, that's where the Portland Timbers, you know, fans will give you grief for whatever, because your penalty kick did not find the back of the net and Portland ended up winning that. But I think you did everything that you were tasked to do.
Yeah, I was just so hyped up of saving, you know, all these penalty kicks. And we had the one that hit the post and rolled along the line, and I'm running to celebrate and hits the post and bounces out. But I was just so hyped. I saved a few that I didn't even know it was my turn to go and shoot, you know? So I grabbed the ball and I'm like, oh man. But, you know, regardless, if you haven't seen it, definitely YouTube it, because I've got some wacky hair there. But it's a good little PK shootout to look at.
Yeah, I think, was it Saad Abdul Salam, the man who he hits the post? I believe it was the right post to hit, or to his right, goalkeeper's left. And then it comes across, looks like it's going to go in, hits the other post, and bounces out. So I'm sure for many of you Sporting fans that have been longtime fans, you know exactly what that looked like. You remember your exact emotions at the time. I can remember where I was, John, when I saw that happen. It was tough. And I know for you guys it was tough as well. But looking back, it sounds like you guys have at least can, you know, appreciate the how grand that moment was and maybe laugh at it a little bit.
I can laugh at it mainly because of that double post thing. But, you know, I don't know if it hurts more or helps the fact that they go on to win MLS Cup, but, you know, that season. So I'm like, oh, man, that could have been us. But at the same time, it's like, well, you got knocked out by the MLS Cup champs. So it is what it is. But I'm excited for a rematch. I think that it's going to be beautiful weather. It's you know, an early game. I think everyone I've talked to said they're going. So I think it's going to be a packed crowd. And I think that Sporting Kansas City is playing with a lot of confidence at the moment. And I don't want to call this a trap game, because Portland obviously started off the season well and they've lost the last three matches. I still think they have a really good team. And I don't think you can look at it and go, oh, well, they've lost the last three matches. This is going to be, you know, we're going to walk all over them. I just don't see that as being the case. And I don't think Sporting Kansas City will approach it that way. But it's something, you know, we always look at these trap games, and this seems like an MLS trap game.
Yeah, and I mean, with Sporting Kansas City having the match at Arrowhead against Inter Miami coming up, you don't want that to be what's in your head. You want to be thinking about the match right in front of you. And, you know, add on top of that, St. Louis after that at home. So two matches that are on paper bigger matches than this matchup against Portland. But the biggest match for Sporting Kansas City is the one right in front of them. You mentioned it. A day match. It's going to be the only regular season match this year for Sporting Kansas City during the day. Should be a beautiful day out at Children's Mercy Park. I'm excited. I'm excited for all of that, and for the fact that, like you said, it's a winnable match for Sporting Kansas City. I mean, every match in MLS in theory is winnable, but against a Portland team that hasn't been, I guess, in the best of form, still very early in the season. Obviously, Sporting Kansas City figuring out themselves, Portland doing the exact same thing. And it feels a little bit for this Portland team like a bit of a changing of the guard, in the sense that they've moved on, new head coach. They no longer have some of their big stars that they had in the past, or at least some of those big stars, you know, like Sebastian Blanco comes to mind, those guys that have been the leaders of their team. And now they're kind of changing that guard into a new generation of the Portland Timbers. And it hasn't gone swimmingly, I guess you could say, at the beginning of this changing of the guard, but at the same time, it takes time, and the MLS season is plenty long. They're nowhere near, you know, being out of anything.
No, 100%, and you said it best. I mean, this is a melting pot of a team. It's a team with players from all over the world. I mean, Major League Soccer, let's be honest, is a melting pot of a league, right? You've got people from all over. But I feel like, and I've always said this, for whatever reason, Portland just has a bunch of players from all over, and it shows in their style of play. I mean, they've got 11 goals, they've allowed 11 goals, so, you know, they've got a great attack, but they can be vulnerable in the back. And so I think that it's good to see that Sporting Kansas City is creating these chances, because I think that they can they can get goals in this match. But I think that they also need to be weary of Evander Ferreira. I think he's, you know, Brazilian, younger guy, one of the Portland's best players, and I think he's going to be a key one to watch in this match. But like I said, I think the defense has been pretty solid over the course of the season so far, and that's a big strength for them, and they need to keep that going.
Yeah, and Portland's most recent win was a 2-1 win over NYCFC. A couple of late goals, one of those coming from Evander, an absolute screamer. I don't know if you got the chance to see that one, John. It was on the road in New York City against NYCFC, who have, you know, had their ups and downs. But for Portland to score two late goals in their most recent victory and do it on the road, it just makes you think, John, they're not a team that is afraid to go on the road and throw it at you, you know, throw themselves at you late and really try and go and get that result when they're playing against a team not in their home stadium. So, of course, Sporting Kansas City need to be wary of that. You said it may be somewhat of a, you know, quote unquote trap game. Portland is not going to die easy. And, you know, even if Sporting Kansas City is in a situation where they're leading, we've seen them struggle late in matches at home. They need to find a way, if they can lead this match, to close it out, because Portland is a dangerous team late in matches.
Yeah, and, you know, and like I said, they've got a lot of players from all over the world. I mean, soccer is everything to them, and they're not going to give up. They're not going to back down. They're going to play for 90 minutes. And I think that Portland's always, in my opinion, sort of had this underdog mentality for whatever reason. And I think that new head coach Phil Neville is also a guy who's very fiery, very animated. You can see him on the sidelines. And I think players feed off of that. And you can see it in Portland's team. They feed off of that energy, and they're fiery too. And I think they're very physical. And that's something that Sporting Kansas City is going to have to be on Sunday, is physical and match that intensity. And if not, raise the intensity a little bit more, because you're playing at home.
And Portland can score goals. You said it, 11 goals this season. They, even in their losses, have scored a lot of goals. And Sporting Kansas City have, on the flip side of that, been relatively stingy defensively. You know, take away the Galaxy match that did not go the way they wanted it to. It feels like there have been a lot of matches where they're just on the glimpse of a clean sheet. They don't get it. They have one clean sheet this season, but SKC's backline has been very solid. It makes you wonder if Andre Ofantas comes back, and who else comes back. See how this team can respond against a team that has been able to score a lot of goals this year, despite some of their struggles.
Yeah, I mean, a clean sheet would be nice, but I think we talked about it last week that at the end of the day, 3 points is really what matters on the weekend, right? Or midweek, or whatever, you know, you want to call it. But I think that the shutout is sort of secondary, and it's just a perception to your team, and it's a perception to the rest of the league of, man, this team is not giving away anything easy. But the main focus needs to be on those 3 points. I think that Portland's, like I said, got a very good attack, so it's going to be difficult. But if you can get everybody back healthy, and you've got your starting 11 that you had at the beginning of the season, I think that the Sporting Kansas City team is going to be very difficult to beat, and I do think the shutouts are there.
And John, it makes me think about the next question that I was going to ask, which you kind of started to hint at. It is, if Sporting Kansas City has everyone healthy that, you know, can be expected to be healthy, obviously, like Logan and Denbe is not going to magically be back for this match, but the same 11 that started the year, to me, it's hard to leave Willy Agata off the starting lineup. You know, if Alan Pulido is back, Johnny Russell's back, of course, on paper, it would make sense to go back to what you started the season with. But the way Willy Agata has been playing, to me, it's hard to leave him off. And I would argue that maybe they should rework something to try and keep him in the starting lineup. He played incredibly well and scored a goal against the Galaxy. This last match against Toronto, he was just about as close as you could get to scoring a goal without scoring a goal. Helped create goals for Sporting Kansas City. I think he's in too good form to leave him off the pitch.
Well, yeah, you bring up a really good point. I think that the players, I mentioned it earlier, I think that the players that have come on for these injured players or whatever it might be have done well enough to make this decision now hard for head coach Peter Vermes. I think that's what Peter wants, right? He's talked about it before, that these players who are coming on and starting, they need to earn that. And I think what's nice about this is when you have players who are coming back from an injury, you don't feel like you have to force them back into the game. You can allow them to maybe come on as a sub, maybe come on at halftime, maybe keep delaying this a little while, you know, their injury and their rehab a little while longer. Let them be fully healthy, because I think maybe in the past he's had to rush some players back, and that just leads to more injuries. And now these players are out long term, and now it's summer window, and you know, you've got a congested schedule. What's nice is like, for instance, Remy Valtteri, he was able to just come on at halftime because players in front of him, like Memo Rodriguez, were playing so well that Peter didn't feel like he had to force it and play them.
And that's a huge talking point, in that Sporting Kansas City has had good help off the bench, some guys that maybe weren't starting at the beginning of the year that have really been able to step in and play their roles very well off the bench. Of course, it also allows, as you just said, not rushing players back. I don't think that's ever something that the coaching staff is trying to do, but sometimes your hands get tied behind your back. The guy says he's good to go. The coaching, or, you know, the training staff does everything they can to make sure that player is good to go, but maybe everyone around them is kind of just thinking to themselves, like, gosh, it would be good to have him back. Now it's like, okay, Willie, for example, Willie Agata is playing very well at the striker position. Alan, if you're not 100% ready to go, if you don't feel like you are going to be the best version of yourself, Willie can continue to play there, because it's still early in the year. We're not late in the year where, yeah, you probably are going to play even if you aren't on 100% fitness levels, like, you know, you see closer to the playoffs.
Exactly, 100%. I mean, you don't want to – I don't think anybody – of course, all the players want to play, even if they're nursing something, right? You're not going to come out and so forth. But at the same time, you know, if you want to be to the best of your ability, maybe take that extra week or that extra 45 minutes in the match to gain your fitness a little more, to get a few more reps. I'm just using an example. Alan Pulido, maybe he's in training doing a couple more shooting drills, you know, so when he comes back in next match, he's flying and he's ready to go. And it's Alan Pulido, right? Instead of coming on and being like, well, I'm still nursing my calf or whatever it might be, you know, and now that delays it three more weeks, instead of being like, well, I'm just going to take one more week off. Willie Agata is playing really well. I'm going to come back the next week and boom, this guy's playing amazing. So I think it's a good thing to have that Peter Vermes now has a tough decision of, do I rush people back? Who do I start? You know, who plays? How many minutes are they going to play? It's a good, you know, it's a difficult decision, but it's a good decision.
Yeah. As we always talk about with stuff like that in squad depth, it's a good problem to have. And I think Sporting Kansas City are in a situation, if everyone is healthy on their roster, they've got a good problem in that, okay, who do we start? Because there's a lot of players playing at a very high level right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know who they're going to roll out with on Sunday. It's an earlier match, you know, not as much recovery time from the prior day's training. But regardless, I still think that it's a good sign that Sporting Kansas City had a fit, you know, they're creating chances, had a great win, and heading into another home match. And for that matter, three home matches. And that's something to talk about too, is they now have three home matches where they're not having to travel, where they're not, you know, have more strain on their bodies than these guys who are injured. I do think that, you know, it's going to be a good stretch of run here. And if they can pick up some points, you know, like you said, they're already in a good place in the standings.
So, John, before we get to wrapping up this Sporting Kansas City show, talk about a win against Portland. If Sporting Kansas City can go out and grab all 3 points at home, what does that mean heading into that big match at Arrowhead Stadium against Inter Miami? And then on top of that, that matchup against the St. Louis City SC coming into Children's Mercy Park.
Well, every point matters throughout the season, right? It's still early, but every point matters. And I think, you know, it's interesting because you're playing an opponent who's in your conference in Portland. So you obviously want to win that, gain as many points on them as possible. But now you go and you play the following week a team in the Eastern Conference, right? So how many points from the Eastern Conference opponents can you grab? And, you know, you've already gotten one from Philly, probably should have been three. You've gotten three now from Toronto. So can you snag three more from Inter Miami as well? And then you come back home and you play your crosstown, you know, cross-state here rivals, if you will, and you've now built this confidence and this momentum and put yourself in an extremely good position in the standings. I mean, I think it's just, can they make this kind of home stand 9 points?
Yeah, 9 points would be absolutely massive. John, as we get wrapping up here, Sporting Kansas City facing off against the Portland Timbers in a day match on Sunday this week. A little bit of a change up on things. It'll be on Fox as well as Apple TV. You can hear us on the call on MLS Season Pass if you switch the audio from the national broadcasters to the local home radio. And of course, we'll be on Sports Radio 810 WHB as well. If you haven't already, go ahead and grab your tickets to that matchup because it will be a good one, a beautiful day. SportingKC.com/tickets. But John, a day match for Sporting Kansas City on a Sunday. Are you more of a day match kind of guy or an evening slash night match kind of guy when you were a player?
Ooh, good question. Well, I'd say I'm more of like a early evening on a Saturday night type of guy. But if it's going to be on a Sunday, I do like this time. I do like kind of the early, you know, or mornings, kind of mid-afternoons. I just liked it. For some reason, it was just a different feeling. You know, everybody's getting up. You've got people tailgating, having brunch, whatever it might be. And there's just – the crowds were always just super energized, you know. So I mean, for whatever reason, we played Seattle. I just can remember it on a Sunday at Sporting Park, and it was one of my favorite matches. It's just – I enjoy those kind of day games.
Yeah, it's 12:45, the official time for Sporting Kansas City against Portland. I'm sure those kind of matches do bring a bit of a different energy. You know, you get a similar vibe every Saturday, but it feels like those Sunday matches during the day, sun's out, you kind of just get that a bit extra excitement, it feels
like.
Yeah,
it's special. You don't get them very often. So I think it's going to be a great match, like I said, and should be decent weather. And, you know, it's another chance to support this team, and I think they're playing very well, and I think that Kansas City always shows well for their teams, and especially when they're playing well, so I'm excited for it.
Well, if you haven't already, go ahead and grab your tickets, sportingkc.com/tickets, but that's all we've got here on the SKC show. A big matchup as Sporting Kansas City welcomes Portland into Children's Mercy Park. We will have all the coverage on Sports Radio 810 WHB, but for now, thank you so much for listening here on the Sporting Kansas City show.